Can we just sing that again this morning as Pastor Tommy gets ready to prepare the word for us? Let's just lift him up.
High above the struggle, among the sickness. Be lifted high in every area of our lives, God. As we surrender to you, be lifted high, oh God. For you are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. Your healer and redeemer. Father, you're the miracle maker. Be lifted high, Jesus. Be lifted high. Father, we thank you that we can seek you and worship you and love on you and cry out to you. We thank you that you died on the cross for us, that your blood was shed, and that there's been a redemption and it washes away the sin. We thank you, God, that while we struggle and we're hurting and in pain, that, Lord, you bring comfort and joy and peace. Father, we thank you that when we celebrate, we walk through life without a battle and we're on the mountaintop, that God, you magnify that mountaintop experience and you make it so amazing for us. We bless you and thank you for that. We thank you for the promise of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the evidence of our prayer language. We thank you for the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Be lifted high, oh God. Lord, be lifted high in this service now as we seek your word and all that you would have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Give Jesus a praise shout this morning. Amen. You may be seated in his presence. And so, wow, welcome today to service. I'm already amped up from the first service. And so I'm believing for great things at this service. If you're new here and I haven't met you yet because service has started, thank you for being here. My name is Tommy. I pastor the church here. We have an amazing staff and team of elders. And so we just want to acknowledge you being here and say thanks for visiting and thanks for being a guest with us. We would love to bless you with a gift. There's a card. If you fill it out, take it to the Welcome Center. We would love to bless you with something. And what happens is our pastoral care pastor will call you and answer any questions you may have and pray with you just one time. And hopefully we can get you connected to what God's doing here in this body if you're looking for one. I also want to acknowledge Pastor Clarence from Elam. Came in this morning, a good friend of Bishop Tom and Pastor Shirley. And so welcome him. And so I had to take a double look. I told him. When he hugged me, I looked at him and I looked back because I thought my roommate from college was here. I swear, I looked at Scott and everyone else. I looked at him like what? Because I was texting him this morning at his church. He pastors in Virginia. And so I'm texting him, you know, God move in your church, healing and salvation, may the Spirit of God. And he's texting back, and then all of a sudden pastor shows up, and I'm like, it's like, everyone has a twin brother, they say, out there. And so I thought for sure, I was like, whoa. But you know, we're glad you're with us today, and may God bless you in this service. So that's it, exactly. And so we're going to jump into this word real quick. Good report. You've all been praying for Bishop Tom and Pastor Shirley. I told you my story last week, how life got a little crazy. And so Bishop was in the hospital. They determined in order to have the fluid removed from his brain, they had to put a shunt in to keep the draining going, which then gave him the ability to get his strength back. And he was walking around doing laps in the hospital. Amen. Praise God. Only by the grace of God. And then they shipped him to rehab yesterday. So today he might be right now with the therapist, getting stronger, getting ready to get back. Because he says once he gets back, he wants to get back up here and give us a message. And so that's what we're praying for. Because even though I pastor the house, he's still the daddy of the house. Always remember that. And so God's in control. I told you that he is always in control. And so let's get to the word. I don't want to take any more time. I want to get to the word because I believe there's going to be some great ministry today. We're talking about the word awakened as a church body, that God wants to awaken and stir up the Spirit of God to move here in this house through worship, through the Word, through you individually, through our Sunday school, through our kids. Do you know what's happening? Let me give you a story. Where's he? Our usher, John. He came to me Sunday because this is what God's doing. You need to know this. I'm going to share your story with you that you told me. I got to get permission. So John came to me and says, Pastor, I got to tell you something last week. I'm like, what? He goes, my son Troy. Troy's a sixth grader. Sixth grader, okay? Sixth grader. Probably about 11, 12 years old. And he comes out of church last week and he says, Dad, he goes, it was the most unbelievable thing. He goes, I was in worship. We worship. Our kids do worship in the back in Sunday school. It's just not playtime. It's not dodgeball time. And he's worshiping. He says, Dad, I had my hands raised up. And he goes, I felt like God was holding me. I have never felt like this before in my entire life, Dad. It was such an amazing presence that was all over me. He goes, I didn't want anyone to touch me or talk to me. I didn't want the song to stop. A sixth grader being awakened by the presence of God. So that's the word for the house. And so this whole year is about what are we doing as a body to get to that place where God is moving and doing what needs to be done to awaken us individually and corporately. And so I began to share a message last week about covenant and how Jesus, God was the originator of the covenant. He sets the parameters, the promises, those things, the oaths that need to be done. He sends Jesus, right, to ratify it, to validate it by the shedding of his blood, that we don't have to kill a bunch of animals and sprinkling her blood all over everything. One time only that he becomes the sacrifice, and that the Holy Spirit seals everything and is given to us. And so, but I want to focus today on Jesus because covenant really is the ability to understand the importance that God wants you and I to be in a relationship with him, okay? To be in a relationship with him. And this relationship involves commitment. It involves spending time together. It involves all those things that are needed to be healthy and whole on our part because God will always do his part. God is faithful. God's yes is yes. God's no is no. He's not double-minded. Everything's laid out before us. But I want to share today and talk to you about Jesus, our mediator. Because we all need Jesus as the mediator of the new covenant. See, because I don't know if you know the story, but see, back in Genesis chapter 3, two individuals, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, God's created beings. We're living in such a state of relationship with the Father, it was amazing. Like where he would come and sup with them and walk with them in the garden. It was such a divine type of atmosphere that they were naked and weren't even ashamed. Now let's be honest, let's just think about that for 1 second. See, look, where people are already laughing. Walking around naked without worrying about anything, not ashamed, not worried or concerned, yet God would come with them and they would sit. You can laugh. Go ahead, brother. You had that deep word. Now I'm up here talking about people being naked in the garden. See how it works? But understand that this relationship was the most amazing, ultimate type of relationship. But there was a problem. The problem was the devil. The devil hates anything that God does. And so the enemy creeps in. It begins to deceive, begins to drive a wedge in the thought process and in the belief and all that was going on in the garden with Adam and Eve and God. And so we know the story that Eve eats the apple. The minute Eve eats the apple, we hear the conversation going in chapter 3 of what now takes place because there's been a break of that divine relationship between the Creator and what he had created. And so that's where the whole process began. And so there's now a separation. There's a divide. There's a distance between that relationship. But God is such a loving and caring God that he's like, you know what? Even though there's that distance, I don't want it to stay that way. I want to be in divine covenant relationship with all of my creation. And so he puts a plan into motion. And we see in the Old Testament, the plan was to use the priest to go into the Holy of Holies and do the sacrificial regulations that were needed to have the atonement for the sin for the nation. But he says, that won't work for eternity. I have a better plan. I have a better solution to the problem of the separation of this divine relationship that I want to have. So I'm going to have my son come from the throne room and take an earthly form. He's going to walk on earth sinless. And then at some point, he's going to become the actual sacrifice that is needed to deal with all the sin that would bring the reconciliation of my children and myself back. And so Jesus is the mediator. And when I talk about a mediator, I'm talking about, when you look at it defined, a mediator is someone who is a middleman, who's placed in the middle. He's the one that settles and takes care of the dispute between two parties. How many of you know? Well, hang on, I don't want to jump ahead of myself. And so he does the work of bringing the opposing sides together. And that's what Jesus is the mediator. We have mediators in our everyday life. We have mediators in contract disputes. We have mediators in business and in all different types of affairs. You know who the best mediators are, though, in the natural? The two of the best mediators you'll ever meet. One is your grandmother, and two is your mama. Moms are amazing mediators, aren't they? Grandmothers are amazing mediators, aren't they? Dads, as a dad, we're not so amazing at mediating between things. Think of two siblings, and they're going at it. As a dad, we just want to go and be like, ah, I tell you, what's wrong with you? You stop doing that, but why? Because I told you so, I'm your daddy. That doesn't work. Grandma comes and is like, oh, come here, honey. Come here, baby girl. What's wrong with you? Let me dry those tears. Come sit with me, tell me. Call on the brother. Oh. We'll come over here. And then all of a sudden brings this tumultuous time back together. But there's an even greater mediator, and his name is Jesus. Because he brings this divine relationship that Abba Father wants with you and I. So he mediates. He sits in between us. And so we celebrate today that Jesus is the man in the middle bringing us back together. And that's what the Word says. When you look in the book of Hebrews three separate times, Jesus is known as the mediator of the new covenant. He's the mediator that brings back this divine relationship that's wanted. He has done it through the shedding of his blood. And see, we know he's also the mediator because here's what he says. He says this in John chapter 14, verse 6. He says, I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. Notice what he said? He said, no one gets to Daddy except through me. No one. He didn't say, you can get there through the pastor. No, you can't. I can't get you there. I can lead you to the cross. I can lead you and kneel with you at the foot of the cross. I can lead you in a prayer. But it's Jesus who paid the price on the cross that gets you to that connection that you need. And so he says, I am the way. There's no other. And the problem is today in culture, we want to make other ways of trying to get to Abba Father. That's not going to work. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't. You can't give yourself to heaven. Should we stop working for the kingdom? No. Should we stop giving to the kingdom? No. But if you think, I think that I'm going to give of my time and my money and my talent and that's going to get me to heaven and into this relationship, it's not. It's Jesus. And accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And then changing my pattern of lifestyle to be an example, to be a representation of who Jesus wants me to be and also what the Word has called me to be. So he's the mediator. And he tells us this, and we celebrate this. And he's the best mediator because he has the nature of God, because he has divinity. But he also carried the nature of man when he walked on earth. He knows both sides of the party. He knows both sides of what's going on. He walked in human form, yet was sinless. So all these new things you're seeing, like on Netflix and all this other stuff about Jesus and all this garbage out there, what does the Bible say? Don't go by what a Hollywood producer is telling you. What does the Bible say? So he walked sinless, yet he was divine. So he knows both. He knows how we feel. He knows our emotions. He knows our feelings. He knows about our anger. He knows about our happiness. He knows about our joy. He knows about our sadness. He knows about all the things about us, but yet he also knows what it is to sit in the place of glory as the Son of God, as being part of the triune God. So who better than to be that type of mediator? And God knew that. So God sends him. And then we see that he dies on the cross for us. And so, as Christ being this mediator, we need to understand that he does so not only because of what took place, because of what started in the garden, but because naturally speaking, we're in a conflict because we were born into that sin nature, right? This is what the word says. And so he was given to us to be this mediator to deal with that, because the sin nature is the dispute, is the problem. How many of us know that when there's an issue with a relationship, many of us know what that problem usually is? Listen, when you're fighting with your neighbor, you're probably fighting because your neighbor's dog keeps going to the bathroom on the lawn, and that's the issue, that's the dispute. And so you're like, yo, you got to pick that up. So you know what it is, right? Or maybe as a couple, you're fighting, and you know what it is? Guys, listen, all she's asking is to put your dishes in a dishwasher before you go to bed, because she doesn't want to get up before she goes to work and see the mess. Just saying, right? I'm just saying. Exactly. Been there, done that. So what I'm saying is, you know the dispute. And the issue that God has is the sin. Because the sin, the Bible describes as a transgression, as rebellion against God and what God's nature and character is and his attributes are. And so that becomes the problem when we allow the sin and those things that go against him to rule and reign in us. But he says, you know what? I don't want that to be a problem. So the blood of Jesus takes care of the issue, the dispute, and brings us into this relationship that is so desired and so pursued by God. God pursues us all the time. All the time. He's pursuing. He's pursuing. He's going after. He's going after. He's going after us. He's going after us. He's going after us. And so just as in knowing that Jesus is the mediator, understand that he removes the guilt and the condemnation, and he removes all the power and the strongholds of sin, because there's power in the blood. We don't have to walk around feeling condemned. We don't have to walk around feeling guilty. We don't have to walk around feeling like we're nobody. We don't have to walk around feeling in any way, shape, or form in that dimension, because Jesus, being the mediator between God and myself, had made a way where all that is removed and dealt with and taken care of. Now he'll work us and work with us through the power of the Holy Spirit to keep us moving forward, that we don't keep falling into the same patterns of allowing whatever that stronghold or whatever that may be holding us back from being who God wants us to be in that divine relationship. He'll help us work through so we recognize what's happening to make the changes necessary. And that's what he does. But understand, he removes it because he saves us from death. He gives you and I a new life. In Jesus, there's a new life. Amen. There's a new life. See, in Jesus, he purifies our minds. He purifies our hearts. In Jesus, he sets the captives free. He brings comfort to those who are in pain. And he brings healing and wholeness to those who need that type of touch. In Jesus, it's available. He's the mediator. Y'all with me? You can accept, this is like for you. This is for me. I've been amped all night. I've been excited all night. I've been excited. I've been ready to go, because this right here is a word in season that's truth that will change you and I forever if we embrace it. The greatest and most important relationship you can be in is with Jesus Christ. I sat here and I told you that I love Jesus, and I know this may sound weird, but this is proper order. I love Jesus more than I love my wife. And now that may sound weird. My wife loves Jesus more than she loves me. But because, understand this, I love my wife. You know me. My wife is everything to me. She's above and beyond. She's the world. But you know what? She's not my Lord and Savior. She's my partner. She's my lover. She's my friend. She's the parent to my children. She's my everything. But Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of us. So he supersedes all of that, right? And so we need to understand that. And so here Jesus is, and he sets us free, and he brings those things that are needed. His gift to us is the reconciliation and the gift of eternity with the Father. But here's what happens in our humanity. We keep filling our backpack, our eternal backpack, with garbage. And the garbage that goes in the backpack plays tricks on our minds. And the garbage in our backpack lets us think, or tries to get us to believe, deception about things that aren't true about how much God loves us and what God wants to do in our lives. Let me show you. I just happened to bring a backpack today. I brought my dress backpack, not my one that I take to the gym. My dress one, this is, you know, if I'm out and about, it's got a nice little color to it, goes with your dress clothes. But let me tell you something about this. I'll move my stuff on the front pew here. Let me tell you something here. Here, check this out. Internally, we have a backpack on, right? Here's what happens. So, we hear this truth of this message. But here's what happens. How can God love you like that? Do you know what you did when you were a high school senior? We put it in there. Oh. How can God love you like that? You're not as pretty as the one singing worship. How can God love you like that? Do you hear the language that you use when you're not in church? How can you love you? How can God love you like that? You have addiction issues. How can God love you like that? You don't even pray enough. Y'all got one that maybe you've been told you want to shout out for me? Anyone? Come on, shout it out. I need a bigger backpack. There's truth right there. Thank you. How can God love you? You went to the wrong website and you didn't click off quick enough and you enjoyed watching it. How can God love you like that? You stole something. How can God, do you see what I'm saying? And so, see, the devil came into the garden and said, hey, did he really mean that? And so we get full of all this stuff. And then the problem is, it's in us. And it's in us. And then we wear it. We put it on. I look fabulous in this backpack, by the way. It's my dress backpack. See, it goes with the thing. Doesn't smell like the gym, so you don't mind wearing it. So we wear this backpack, and I'm going to be honest with you. The more stuff we put in it, the heavier it gets. And then the more time that we get around church or people that aren't allowing the backpack to weigh them down, we feel guilty. We feel condemnation. We don't feel good enough. We don't feel that it's okay. And so what happens is it gets heavier and heavier and heavier, and now we're struggling through life. But in our mind, we don't want to let go, because sometimes we just like feeling this way. Sometimes we don't mind wearing the backpack. And so we hold on to this backpack. And every time God wants to move, we hear the devil's voice louder than God's voice. And we believe the devil more than we believe what God can do. And so the backpack keeps weighing us down. And we're being dragged down and dragged. But I've come to tell you that Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. And he wants to bring you from where you may be, way out there, into this divine relationship with God. And let me tell you something too, okay? See, the blood that was shed on the cross, everything that you and I have put in our backpacks is covered and dealt with the blood of Jesus. Go ahead and clap. That's an amen, right? That's an amen right there. We're trying to, it's an amen right there. And so what happens is we got to come to the realization that I know, listen, just that little bit right there, my back was already getting sweaty. I'm like, whoa, if I wore this the rest of the time, I'd probably be half my size. I'd be sweating so much. You can laugh. So what we have to do is we have to do this. We have come to the point and realize, okay, God, you sent Jesus for me. That there's power in that blood and there's life in the blood. And that when you release Jesus into my life, you deal with everything in this backpack. And see, we got to come to the place where we walk ourselves in. We walk ourselves in. Let's use an imaginary cross because you won't see the stuff laying back there. But we get to the cross and we're like, you know what, devil, no more. And we just pour it all out. And we're like, I'm no longer carrying that. I'm going to walk in freedom because of what Jesus did. Right? But here's the deal. Now I'm going to get real again. Because we live life by patterns, I'm working on this message. I heard a message. I heard the one word. I didn't hear what the rest of the pastor said. I heard pattern, and I, you all know me. I think in patterns. Look at all our decorations. There's always a pattern to it. There's always something to it. And everyone around here knows. Let's first see if that pattern fits his head. But we live life in patterns. We're pattern habit people. So what happens a lot of times is we get set free, but because of the pattern is stronger or we don't let go of the pattern and make the changes necessary, we go right back to the backpack. And then we begin to fill it back up again. And God's like, don't you know that I paid it and I took care of it and I dealt with it? Stop trying to put it back on. Stop trying to pack that thing back up. Because the more you pack it, the less freedom you have. I've already taken care of it. I dealt with it. Leave it at the cross. Because God wants this type of relationship, not a long-distance relationship. See, my daughter, you guys all know this. My daughter, she went to Spain for 6 months last year. Broke my heart that first week. I'll tell you what, I don't know if Daddy cried more or what, but I was crying and I was upset. And she's my partner in crime. See, my daughter, we're two peas in a pod. Everyone knows that if you spend any time with either one of us, you're like, oh my God, she's your twin. The doctor the other day looked at her and says, oh my God, you two are alike. We're like, yeah, we are. And when she left, I was like, oh. Even like now my son has moved away to a different state. I'm like, oh, I got to text him every day. I got to call him. I got to see if he's okay. He's a grown man. And Daddy's like, you okay, brother? Hey, what's happening? What's going on? And you know what? It broke my heart. Because there was this distance. And yeah, I could text and I can FaceTime and we can, it just wasn't the same. And see, God is the same way with you and I. He's in heaven, you know, and there's that distance. He doesn't want to FaceTime you. He doesn't want to occasionally slide into your DMs. He does not want to do that. You know what I'm talking about? He doesn't want to, no. He wants this. He wants it all the time. He wants it all the time. That's why Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. Because he made a way that it can be like this. He made a way for you and I. It's just a matter of us doing our part. One of the greatest illustrations of this is when he took his last breath and the earth began to shake. And the curtain in the temple was torn, rent from top to bottom. It gave a visual sign that the priest no longer needs to go in for everybody else, that you and I can walk into Jesus, can walk into God's presence. It's for you. It's for you. I get excited about that for me and for you, that you have that opportunity. I get so fired up about this. Because I told you guys, man, before Jesus, I wasn't all that. I had issues. Now that I have Jesus, I have less issues. But because I have Jesus, he deals with them. And he helps me. And he teaches me. And he corrects me. And he picks me back up and dusts me off. And he points me in the direction I need to go. But because he's my mediator, he's getting all the download from Abba Daddy. And the Spirit's releasing it to me to help me to enhance my everyday life. And so understand this when we speak of Jesus as the mediator. He's our high priest. He was chosen from amongst all men. Think about that. See, he speaks as God's representative to God as God's representative on our behalf. That's what he does. We go into his presence and he deals with it. He has been appointed and anointed by the Father for such a job as this, to die on the cross. See, that's what Jesus did. That's who he is. And as we get ready to wrap this up, let me encourage you to know this, that as high priest, as the King of Kings, and as the Lord of Lords, he has all authority in heaven and earth. See, Jesus is the author and the finisher. You know that? All power, all authority, author and finisher, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He sits enthroned in the throne room, in his rightful place. He's not on the cross anymore. He's not in the tomb. He's at his right place, enthroned with Abba Father. See, he rules and reigns in righteousness, in holiness, in purity, in peace, and in joy. That's how he rules, and that's how he reigns. And he wants us to live a righteous, pure, joy-filled, peace-filled life. And we have that opportunity through a relationship with Jesus, the covenant Jesus, the mediator of the covenant of God, Jesus. But it's a choice. Like everything else, it's a choice. It's a choice. And so, some of us are thinking this. Well, I get that and what you've been saying, but I've been praying for something, believing for something for a really long time, Pastor, and it hasn't come to pass. You know what? What if it doesn't? Does that mean God's not your God? Because the greatest gift given to you and I is not a prayer request being answered. It's the gift of eternity. Amen. It's the gift of salvation. He treats us. You know how God treats us? He treats us when he brings healing and wholeness. That's a treat, right? The gift of the Holy Spirit, that's, who has kids? I heard this, who has kids? I heard this over again. Now, how many of you know that, you know, we tell our kids, we're going to give you a treat, right? I heard this in the session thing that I was listening to, and I love this because it's so true. We tell our kids, we're going to give them a treat. Well, what's our treat? The M&Ms, you know, little Rice Krispie bars. Well, what's my treat today? We're going to watch a video. We get a treat. Well, God treats his children. He treats them with the fruit of the Spirit. He treats them with the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gift of our prayer language, tongues. He treats us with the Word and the truth of the Word when we're reading it. This is what God does. So, you know, we sit here today and we look at this, we're like, yeah, but I've been praying for that thing. You know, that person spoke into my life that says I'm not good enough or I don't look right. And so every time we allow it, God will deal with it. Continue to surrender. Continue to bathe it in prayer. But we can't base our walk off of God off a bunch of prayer requests that may have not come to pass yet. Too many people quit on God and quit on Jesus because they didn't get everything they wanted. And the reality is, it's all about the Father. It's all about God and our relationship and our walk with him. We keep praying and we keep dumping. We keep believing because he can do anything that he wants to do. He created the heavens and the earth. But don't allow that to stop you from this in your relationship. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Let's wrap this up in prayer because we need to pray for that. We need to pray for that pile of stuff. Here's how, if you have an imaginary backpack full of stuff, I'm not going to ask you what it is, that just keeps appearing, slip your hand up in the air real quick. Okay, they're going up all over the sanctuary. All up over the sanctuary. My hand's up. I got stuff. We all got stuff. If you're saying you don't have stuff, slip your hand up in the air because you got stuff. Amen. Come on now. We all need Jesus. If you tell me you don't need any more Jesus, you need more Jesus. So, Father, we have raised our hands in acknowledgement of the stuff. Lord, stuff that is affecting us, that is sucking life out of us, that is draining us, that is playing tricks on our mind, that is having our perception seem to be reality. We have stuff, God, that is affecting our relationship with our loved ones. We have stuff that is affecting our relationship with our children. We have stuff that is just messing us up. Lord, I know what your word says. I know, God, that because of the blood that was shed on the cross, because of the power of the gift of the Holy Spirit, because of the unchanging, unfallible love that you have for us, you can deal with it immediately. You declare that you've come to break the chains and the shackles of bondage, the strongholds, the guilt, the condemnation. Romans 8:1, we will not live in condemnation. So Father, I ask now in the name of Jesus, the only name, the name that's above every other name, the only name that we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, help us with our backpacks. Lord, begin to remove them and dump them out. Deal with each situation and circumstance that we as a people can be free individually and we as a church can be free corporately. Father, we come to you and you alone, and we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, my last prayer for today. Jesus is the mediator. He made a way for reconciliation. He made a way to bring us into that relationship with the Father. The question is, has everyone here received him as the mediator? Has everyone prayed that prayer of salvation, of acknowledging who he is and what he did? Acknowledging that the dispute is the sin. Acknowledging that we're going to repent and turn from the sin and turn to the way of Jesus. Acknowledging that we need the Holy Spirit to help us through this thing called life. And asking Jesus to fill us with it, to give us the internal spiritual GPS that is needed to navigate life. Maybe you've never prayed that before. I want to give you that invitation right now. You've never prayed that, but you know something's stirring that you want that divine connection. Is that anyone here today? Anyone here today for the very first time to pray this prayer? Some of you have prayed it. I know you prayed it last week, brother. Anyone want to pray that prayer? Okay, maybe that stuff called pulled us off course. And today you're like, man, I need to get back to where I was. Can I tell you a secret? That happened to me all the time growing up. Until it just did, but I didn't care about how many times I got prayed for. Because I knew I needed to change. I knew I needed what God had for me. Is that you? Because we would love to pray with you. Anyone in here? Anyone in here? All right. Let's have a closing prayer. We're going to ask the prayer team to come forward, those who are on the prayer team today to come forward. And then we're going to open up the altars after we close in prayer for anything that you may be dealing with personally that you want our elders and our pastors and our prayer team members to pray with you for, to intercede, to stand in the gap with you, that God would do something, and that we would get a tangible evidence of God doing that. Amen? So, Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for your word today and how it stirred something up within us. Lord, I pray that every word that was spoken would be kept by the and protected by the presence of your Holy Spirit, and that not only is it protecting it, but God, it's watering the seeds that have been planted that would bring a sure foundation in this understanding of covenant, and that Jesus, you're the mediator of the covenant. God is the originator and the Holy Spirit's the sealer. So, Father, let every word be sealed today. I pray traveling mercies upon our friends and family. We thank you for this opportunity to gather together to worship you, to love you, and to hear what you would speak to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord a hand clap as we get ready to leave today.